national news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Wednesday's show is African Athletics. A 23-year-old Ghanaian sprinter who attends a university in Texas here in the USA has his sights set on qualifying for this year's Tokyo Olympics. Joining us now from Accra is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Benjamin Azamati's rise as a Ghanaian athlete has been swift. He started off as a young boy on the streets of Accra and has risen to become one of the country's most prominent 100-meter sprinters. Azamati's forte was football, but somewhere in between training sessions, he decided to choose sprinting. He got ushered into the national team after some very good performances while he was at the University of Ghana. He beat the defending champion, went on to win gold at the Ghana University Games and at the Africa University Games, where the existing 100-meter record is still in his name. Now, at the West Texas A&M University, Azamati has continued his smashing performances. He has won back-to-back races in the 60-meter dash this year, has beaten his personal best twice, and is brimming with confidence. He says the goal is to run faster.
The motivation is for you to run good times all the time. So that is what I've actually been working towards the whole of the season that I was not running. So I think the motivation is for me to, you know, go on the tracks, run better times, and then that is what I'm doing. So I think I was prepared well enough, and then the season is now open, and then I get onto the tracks and I'm able to run fast times.
You've been able to break your own record in back-to-back races. How does that make you feel?
I feel great. I feel good. But that is not the target yet. You know, I have a set time that I want to run, and that is what I'm looking at. But for now, I feel good and I feel proud of myself. But the goal is to stay healthy and then run good times too.
Azamati was a member of Ghana's relay team that won gold at the Africa Games in Morocco in 2019. The team, now ranked 13th in the world, Benjamin hopes they can get together and make another impact at the Olympics later this year.
That was the second time we ran together at the World Championship in 2019. And we are still in touch. We try to talk to each other. And then, you know, we are looking at, you know, training personally and also improving on the times in the relay, because I think we are still 13th in the whole world and then looking at going to Olympic Games. So we try to motivate each other and then try to run faster times in order to get a better time for the relay and then hopefully win a medal for Ghana in the Olympic Games. I hope the Olympics, it's able to happen. And then I'm looking at qualifying. All I have to pray for is to stay healthy and then to have life. I'm still working on, you know, running the qualifying time. So, you know, I've had a great start and a great boost. I think getting to outdoor, I pray that I'm healthy and then we see if I can qualify or not.
For every athlete, the goal is to run faster, win shiny medals and break records. Azamati's vision is lofty. What is the ideal time that you want to run in your career?
The ideal time I want to run in my career is, you know, I'm an athlete. I'm a 100-meter sprinter. And then everybody looks at breaking record.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm looking at breaking Usain Bolt's record.
That's 9.58?
Yeah, 9.58.
So you want to do something in the region of 9.57?
Exactly.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra.
My name is Benjamin Azamati, a member of the quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Secretary General of Mozambique's National Olympic Committee, Penalva Cesar, says his country is planning to send a 28-member team to the Tokyo Games. in an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Cesar said with the global pandemic, he's cautiously optimistic the Tokyo Olympics will be held in July.
Hopefully the games will take place this year after the postponement last year. And when the games were postponed because of COVID situation, training was also cancelled everywhere. But around October last year, teams returned to training in Mozambique under special authorization by the head of state after consultations with health authorities. Then we produced a guide of procedures to all national federations involved. And this guide was produced in straight collaboration with the Ministry of Health in order to guarantee safety, social distance, sanitation in accordance with the World Health Organization instructions. So at the moment, I would say all the high-performance athletes, those who are involved in preparation for the games because they are qualified, or those who are preparing to take place in qualification events are training. Of course, this training is a bit peculiar because we have to respect all these instructions. It's a different way of training, and athletes and officials are in a process of relearning how to train. But, everywhere in the world, the situation is the same, so we are doing the best we can. The athletes who are training for the preparation of the games will definitely attend training camps, both at national and international level. And especially prior to the opening ceremony in Tokyo, all the qualified athletes from the Mozambique team will be participating in different training camps in Japan for the athletes to train better in an environment which is proper, which is the Japanese one, and also because jet lag is very big, it's 7 hours difference, so athletes will need time to recover from jet lag and also prepare in the most adequate environment. So all the athletes will be attending training camps in Japan 20 days prior to the opening ceremony.
How many athletes and officials will represent your country?
At present, Mozambique have qualified 5 female athletes, and this is the number of the qualified athletes we have up to now. But as the time goes on, and the qualification will probably return to place in the near future, We still have opportunities to qualify some athletes, some more. The athletes who are already qualified are from sailing, 3 athletes, and boxing, 2 athletes. But eventually we may qualify 1 male athletics runner, 2 male beach volleyball, and 1 more boxing, a male athlete. And eventually a male swimmer. These are the figures it's just a provisional figures. And yes, this will take us to a number of around from 9 to 11 athletes, plus their coaches and officials for a team of will be, as I said, from 9 to 11 athletes, 16 officials between coaches and managers. Of course, Mozambique will also have a chef de mission, and that will be the constitution of our delegation to the Olympic Games.
Do you still have some qualifying events by your athletes for the Olympic Games?
Well, as I mentioned before, there are a number of qualifying events taking place in the near future. We just don't know when these events will take place. We are waiting for the international federations to announce the new dates for the qualifications that were cancelled last year. So we still have a number of qualifying events. I spoke about athletics, swimming, boxing, the sports where we're trying to qualify, and there's also a canoeing qualification. So it's quite a number of before June to take place around the world.
That's Penalva Cesar, the CEO and Secretary General of Mozambique's National Olympic Committee.
And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Maputo, Mozambique.
Sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, five-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
On this edition of Press Conference USA, host Carol Castiel and VOA's Daybreak Africa host James Buddy talk with Judd Devermont, director of the Africa program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, about prospects for a more dynamic Africa policy under the Biden administration. Listen to Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. This evening, we continue our preview of Sunday's Super Bowl, one of the biggest annual sporting events here in the USA. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will host the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in the 55th edition of the National Football League's title contest. Now, the big game will be played at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. The Buccaneers will be the first team to play a Super Bowl in their home stadium. During Tuesday's show, we heard from star quarterbacks Tom Brady of Tampa Bay and Patrick Mahomes of Kansas City. The 25-year-old Mahomes has earned praise not just for his dynamic play on the field, but his social activism off it. Kansas City's quarterbacks coach is Mike Kafka.
You know, when he's in football mode, he's in football mode. And then, you know, outside of football, he's able to affect the community in such a positive way. You know, it just speaks to the kid and what he's done. You know, I'm so proud of him on that aspect and being able to give back to the community and stand up for what he believes in. You know, I respect that. And I'm proud that, you know, I'm associated with that.
Meanwhile, Kansas City's head coach, Andy Reid, is also proud of his star quarterback.
He's got a way about him where he understands people. And they are interested in things that he has to say or back and believe in. So I think that's that present yourself with a good combination to whatever platform that you want to support or take.
In shaping his own personal platform on social justice issues, Patrick Mahomes says he's been influenced by Los Angeles Lakers basketball star LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great athletes that are doing things the right way. LeBron is one of them. He's someone that I can talk to and get advice from. But there's others. I mean, there's a ton of people that are using their voice to make a difference in this world. And I try to take from them and then kind of use my own voice and my own way to make an impact in my community.
February is Black History Month here in the USA. And for Patrick Mahomes, that history makes it a very important month.
But obviously with the things that we went through this last, my last offseason, I really understood the importance of it, of really learning our history and learning how far that we have come and how far we still have left to go.
That's star quarterback Patrick Mahomes of the reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs will play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday in the 55th Super Bowl of American style football.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Serena Williams is one of the stars warming up down under for next week's Australian Open. Serena was a winner on Wednesday, as we hear now from Craig Gabriel in Melbourne.
Mother's midweek tennis at the home of one of the four majors? Well, not quite, but it was a match between two mums when Serena Williams played Svetlana Pironkova and proved too strong for the Bulgarian, 6-1, 6-4. Serena was well aware of Pironkova. At the US Open, they went three sets. Naomi Osaka and Simona Halep enjoyed wins, as did the world number one, Ash Barty. But the Australian ended up in quite a battle with Czech Marie Buskova, 6-love, 4-6, 6-3. Checkmate.
You know that you're going to have to produce your best tennis over a long period of time. So I think that was the challenge today, was to make sure that, I didn't just bundle up like a bag of spuds and lose what was happening. I just needed to stick fat and keep continuing doing the right things for us.
Sophia Kenin, who a year ago won her first major at the Australian Open, rallied from a set and a breakdown to win. Enigma, Nick Kyrgios, showed his calmer side with a win.
My relationship with tennis can change in a minute. I think me being away from it, I'm not getting as angry, I feel. Like, when I'm missing shots, I am, but I don't know, obviously it's instilled a lot of perspective in everyone, but I feel like I've had that throughout my career anyway. I haven't really, acted as if tennis is the be and end all for me anyway. I just take it day by day. I don't set any goals. I don't want to say I'm going to play tennis for longer or shorter. I just want to take it day by day, show up every day, try and play good tennis, try and be positive, try and be a better role model than I was last year.
And at the ATP Cup, Germany beat Canada, Italy overwhelmed France, and Russia beat Japan. Now, the Australian Open has announced that they will have electronic line calling on all courts, but it won't be computerized voices or beeps. Instead, voices of community heroes will be pre-recorded. People like firefighters, surf lifesavers, paramedics, etc. will do the calling. Out, foot fault, fault, etc. Craig Gabriel for VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. The Voice of America officially celebrated its 79th birthday on Monday. On February 1st, 1942, the VOA had its first broadcast. And here's a fun VOA fact for our longtime listeners. I'm sure some of you remember Barry Mon, the old sports emperor, who retired more than 20 years ago after a royal and sporty reign behind our Voice of America microphones. Barry is still very proud of his Australian roots, and he occasionally will wax poetic about Vegemite, a thick, dark brown Australian food spread. Barry enjoys it for breakfast on his toast. Well, Craig Gabriel asked American tennis star Serena Williams if she likes Vegemite.
Well, my husband's obsessed with Vegemite. I am not. I am team no Vegemite. Sorry. But yeah, what else is Aussie food like?
Kangaroo.
I would never. I could never. I mean, those little guys are so cute. No, I keep it simple. Lots of other things, but not that.
What about words? Australian words.
Well, I feel like my accent could be offensive.
American tennis star Serena Williams talking with Craig Gabriel in Melbourne, Australia. Serena doesn't eat Vegemite, and she doesn't eat kangaroo.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat.
African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Now let's go to the Olympic city of Tokyo, where a young champion sumo wrestler is shoving around his older counterparts. He trains with his father, and he hopes to one day dominate Japan's national sport. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports.
At just 10 years old, Japan's Kyuta Kumagai is already a world champion sumo wrestler. He weighs 85 kilograms, eats as much as 4,000 calories a day, and beats boys 5 and 6 years older than him.
It's fun to beat people older than me.
Kumagai trains 6 days a week at a local temple, lifting weights and working on his flexibility. It often leaves him breathless, bloody, and crying. His dad, Taisuki, entered his son in his first tournament when Kyuta was just in kindergarten.
I didn't teach him anything. He could do various things naturally. There's a talent for sumo, and he has that talent. He won the tournament. I thought he may have something special.
Dr. Daniel Gould is director of the Institute for the Study of Youth Sports at Michigan State University. He says parents pushing children in sports should consider more than early wins.
We always tell parents, you want to be kind of thinking of your kid. Where are they in their cognitive development? Where are they in their emotional development, social development? Where are they in their physical development? If you're going to play them up an age group or, in a, you know, send them away from home to train, you really want to be looking at those three boxes and make sure they're all this, you know, all ticked off.
Taisuki Kumagai moved his family to a part of Tokyo famous for producing sumo wrestlers. Now Kyuta trains with former professional sumo wrestler Shinichi Taira.
He has great talent. He's a hard worker and his parents are very enthusiastic. I think that's why he won the national competition. His future will be interesting.
Training can be expensive, but Taisuki says instead of gambling, he's betting big on his son. He also says Kyuta needs to gain another 20 kilograms over the next 2 years by the time he reaches middle school. The hope is for a high-profile sumo stable to take him in. Experts like Michigan State's Dr. Gould say that decision should be driven by the young athlete. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Yes, sporting greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's my VOA colleague, Heather Maxwell. And here's another fun VOA fact for our Voice of America listeners. Music Time in Africa is the VOA's longest-running English language program. It was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. Australia has pulled out of next month's cricket tour in South Africa, where health officials have been battling a second, more transmissible wave of coronavirus. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In a Tuesday statement, Cricket Australia interim chief executive Nick Hockley said a trip to South Africa would pose an unacceptable level of risk due to the coronavirus epidemic in the country. And while Hockley added the decision to pull out had not been made lightly, the cancellation has angered those on the side of Cricket South Africa. Dr. Shwaib Mandra is the chief medical officer for CSA. He tells Reuters News his team invested an enormous amount of time and money to ensure the tour moved forward, and Australia's decision to cancel is unwarranted.
Cricket Australia based their decision on zero risk, and I think that zero risk in this world is impossible. We worked on probabilities, they worked on possibilities. So clearly we went as far as we could, taking all the precautions with a kind of fair degree of certainty that there would be no positive cases within the BSE.
Dr. Mandra adds the safety protocols offered to Cricket Australia were unprecedented and insists his team worked tirelessly to meet every health requirement.
So basically, it was a strict biosecure environment. Everything that Australia had required, we had checked the boxes. Even as far as the airport is concerned, we were working towards granting them a safe passage, coming with a private charter from Australia, giving them a private terminal to land in, getting dedicated staff to check them through with customs and with health, and with immigration, and ensure that they go in a biosafe bus to the biosafe environment.
In his statement, Nick Hockley acknowledged the amount of work CSA put into making safety their number one priority. However, the Australian Cricket Board said it had no choice but to postpone. But Dr. Mandra argues health officials in South Africa have the virus under control, with the number of infections on the decline.
The other redeeming factor for us is that the number of infections in South Africa has gone down to 25% from when we had begun discussions with Australians. So clearly the risk in the country has come down significantly. You know, the vaccination program is being rolled out. Clearly it wouldn't impact on Australian series. But we're beginning to see huge changes in South Africa in terms of risk, and the risk has dropped significantly. So within this climate, I mean, you know, we're really disappointed that the decisions the Australian, Cricket Australia has taken.
South Africa has recorded over 1 million coronavirus cases and more than 44,000 deaths since the outbreak began. And many new cases are believed to be linked to a new, more transmissible variant of the virus. The spread of COVID-19 has been much less severe in Australia. On Monday, officials enforced a 5-day lockdown in the Australian capital, Perth, after the state reported a single positive case. Since then, no new cases have been found. The Australian Cricket Board said despite their best efforts to agree on a biosecurity plan, the risks in South Africa were just too great. And Dr. Mandra admits some of Australia's concerns were simply beyond his control.
They were concerned about the 14-day hard quarantine when they returned to Australia. If an Australian player tests positive in South Africa, it would be difficult for them to get back to Australia because they could not board the charter flight back to Australia. And then they would need a commercial flight back to Australia, and the Australian government would need to grant them permission to get back into the country, which wasn't guaranteed. So there were certain imponderables which Australia faced from their government demands, and certainly that was way beyond our control.
The tour's postponement means New Zealand now qualify for the ICC World Test Championship final, scheduled from June 18th in England. And while no new dates have been announced for Australia's tour in South Africa, Nick Hockley says he looks forward to playing the series against CSA when a future date is confirmed. And that is all from me for now. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Earlier in the show, we heard from Super Bowl winning quarterback Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Bob Greasy, who won back-to-back Super Bowls as the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins in 1973 and 1974. Bob Greasy is celebrating his 76th birthday on this Wednesday. And that wraps up the February 3rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.